you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of your light. By grace unseen, you rescue me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a home stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you.
You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high.
I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a home stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a love that I found in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Falling in love with you, Jesus, is the best thing I've ever done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the opportunity to greet one another. Shake their hand. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. One of the ushers will be at the back of the offering plate. And you may pass that way and worship with your wallet. But take an opportunity to greet one another as we sing.
Jesus, no sweeter name I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth in the way. Of Jesus, no sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Around me, you are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth in the way.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and lift your voice? You worship the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, we're thankful for the name that is above every name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. In a few moments, we are going to take some knees of the Lord in prayer, but I do want to remind you of a few things by way of announcement. There's a Mother's Day outing happening this Saturday. I talked to my wife earlier in the week, and she said she had a good number going, so thank you for your response and your participation therein. It is, weather permitting, going to be at Cantini Park. I believe they are taking the church van from here. And so if you have not told her that you're going and you want to go, please let her know tonight so she can make final arrangements. Again, that's happening this Saturday. Sunday, regularly scheduled services. Sunday, the two-session service format on Sunday, and then Revival by Design on Sunday night. But during the day, in the middle of the day, the brother and sister Lily would invite you to their place. We are having kind of a little farewell get-together for Colin. He is being shipped out on Tuesday, and so they would like for us to get together with them. They're providing all the food. The only thing you got to do is show up, and so that is happening after service on Sunday morning, somewhere around 12:20 in the afternoon, and that is available to any and all that want to go and be a part of that. It is an open invitation to everybody in the church, and so we encourage you to be a part of that. And then a week from this Sunday is Mother's Day, and we will have a special time during the service on that Sunday morning to acknowledge and celebrate our mothers. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. We will still have the two-session format on that Sunday morning. But then on Memorial Day weekend, which is the 28th, we have quite a few people that are going to be out of town, my family as well. We are going to make our trek to our annual vacation to Florida. And so we will not be here on that service. We will not. We only have a one-session format on that Sunday morning. And then there will be no PM activities here at the church on Memorial Day weekend. So just want to remind you of that. Also the same on Mother's Day, we will not be having Revival by Design on Sunday, May the 14th, which is Mother's Day. I encourage you to go spend time with family. And so there will not be Revival by Design on that Sunday night as well. Let's take some needs to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand? Sister Sue Ann. Goodness. Hey, Mass. Yeah. All right. Her name's Amy. All right. Let's certainly lift up Amy in prayer. Brother Ryan, so you can. Certainly. Certainly. Very worthy request, Sister D. Goodness. Sure. Certainly. Certainly. Anybody else? Brother Mike? All right. Certainly. All right. Sister Darling? All right. All right. Certainly. Sister Allie? Goodness. All right, certainly. Do you happen to know the family name? Okay. All right. Let's remember that family prayer, certainly. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you, God. That you have a peace that passes all understanding, God, a comfort, God, that we can lean upon, God, and trust in, Lord, for those families dealing with the tragic loss of a loved one, God, someone who's taken their own life, God. There's so many unanswered questions, God, so much confusion that results in a situation like this, Lord, and I pray that they would turn to you and find your help and find your strength, God, find your love, God, to upgird them and strengthen them, Lord, for those dealing, God, with health situations. God, we know that you are the great physician, God, you're the creator of the body, you're able to heal, God, all manner of disease. God, we thank you that we can come to you and trust in your power to work and to move, God, for Brother Mike and his job situation, Lord, that you would open the door, that if it would be your will, God, that you would bring it to pass. God, we thank you, God, we trust in you, God, for those who have lost a loved one, God, without knowing the reasons why. God, we know that we can come to you, God, and find your strength and find your help, God, to trust in you, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do, Jesus. In your wonderful, precious name, in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are, I hope, we had some computer issues. Ha! All righty. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. Thank you to Brother Ryan for helping us out. We had a computer crash, and he was able to take it and get it fixed. And so now we are back up and running. So it's always easier and I think better when you have some visuals to go along with it, especially when it comes to teaching. And so we are continuing in our study of boundaries. And we've kind of ventured into a new area, if you will. We are calling this developing healthy boundaries. So we're not just talking about what boundaries are, why they're necessary, why we have issues with them, so on and so forth. We're talking about how to develop healthy boundaries. We're talking about the resistance that when we decide we're going to start developing some healthy boundaries, the resistance that comes as a result of that. And so I want to look at this verse of scripture, and maybe from this you'll kind of know where I'm going when we talk about resistance. But Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, then thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Obviously, this is the Lord dealing with the situation of trespass one to the other. And so we're going to talk about this in a little bit. But before I get there, essentially what we're dealing with in these last two sessions, we're talking about the resistance to developing healthy boundaries. Where the resistance comes from. When we decide, and hopefully throughout the course of this study, we have reached a place where we recognize there needs to be some healthy boundaries set in our life. Whatever area it is, whatever, maybe through this teaching, it's been brought to your mind, an area, a boundary that you need to set. You need to find a way to set a healthy boundary in your life. There's going to be some resistance. And last week we talked about the resistance to developing healthy boundaries, the internal resistance. We are our own worst enemy. And we talked about why that it is so difficult to say no to ourselves. It's so difficult for us to resist the internal impulses, if you will, to build a wall or to build a gate or to put a boundary where it should be. And so we talked about that. We talked about how that we can't set good boundaries by ourselves. When we have areas that we struggle with, willpower itself is not enough. We need others to help us set good boundaries. And then we talked about we need good boundary buddies. We need external assistance to help us overcome the internal resistance and set appropriate boundaries. We talked about what a good boundary buddy was and what a bad boundary. We talked about the characteristics of a good boundary buddy and the characteristics of a bad boundary buddy. And so tonight, looks like I've done it. That's better. We're going to talk about some external resistance. Obviously, internal resistance having to do with ourselves, external resistance having to do with others. What about the effects of our boundaries as they relate to others? When I decide that I'm going to develop some healthy boundaries in my life, I'm going to say no, or I'm going to build a wall here, or I'm going to let other things in, I'm going to say yes. And what happens in relation to others when I set those boundaries? How do I handle that? Do I set boundaries regardless of how others might react? If I understand that it's a healthy boundary and it needs to be set, it's appropriate, it's something that's needed in my life, do I set that boundary regardless, without thought of how it's going to affect someone else, how someone else may react to that boundary? And then, how do I handle trespass of those boundaries? I set that boundary. I realize it's a good boundary. It's a healthy boundary. It's something I need in my life. And I set that boundary, but the other person, the other parties, they don't respect that boundary and they trespass that boundary. What do I do? How do I handle that trespass? What do I do when they continually trespass the boundary? I've told them no, but they don't hear no. I've told them no, but they continue to want to maintain control, and so they manipulate, or they do this, and they do that. How do I handle that, Pastor? If I understand that I got to set a boundary, and I set that boundary, but then the other person doesn't respect that boundary, I set that boundary, and I readily realize that when I do that, it's probably going to cause some conflict. It's probably going to cause an issue, but I recognize I need to do so. I set the boundary, and then the other party decides that they don't like where that boundary's set. The other party decides that, nope, I don't respect that boundary. And they trespass the boundary. Then what do I do? How do I handle it? Well, hopefully tonight we'll help you answer some of those questions. Let's talk about this external resistance. First thing you need to know, setting boundaries will create conflict. It will. Rest assured, When you start developing healthy boundaries in your life, it will create conflict. It's going to happen. You can rest assured. It's going to happen. Why? Because seldom, if ever, will other interested parties just acquiesce and accept where you place the boundary. They're not just going to say, oh, okay. Well, I've been wanting you to say no for years. And now that you've said no, I respect that. Man, you don't know how long I've been waiting for you to look at me and tell me no. I've just been chomping at the bits this whole time, waiting for you to look at me and set that boundary. Good job. Way to go. I now respect that boundary. Good job. That would be nice. It would be great if it worked that way. It would be wonderful if those individuals had respect for the boundary that we set, but that doesn't often happen. Seldom, if ever, will an individual, when you set a boundary in your life, will the other party initially respect that boundary? They won't. They won't. Often, the external resistance will come in the form of consequences and or counter moves in attempt to invalidate the boundary. Oh, really? You're going to set that boundary? That's what you're going to do? Well, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, really? You're going to set that boundary? Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And sometimes it may not even be in response to that particular boundary. It may not be in that particular area. It may be in another area. But they've got to respond. The boundary's been set. Somebody said no. And I can't just acquiesce and accept that no is there. I'm not comfortable with that boundary. You may think it's a healthy boundary, and you need to develop it, but I don't like it. And so there's going to be consequences. There's going to be a counter move to your boundary. Oh, you want to play that game? All right. Well, I got to move too. I can set a boundary too. You don't want to do that? Well, I ain't going to do this. And all of a sudden, wait a second. Now, guess what? Conflict. Guess what? Differing of opinions. Disagreement. Oh, but Pastor, that's why I didn't want to do it in the first place, because I knew a lot of the internal resistance that I was experiencing was the understanding that if I do this, it's going to create external resistance. So internally, I was conflicted because I knew that if I set the boundary, the other party wasn't just going to accept. They weren't just going to say, great, you set the boundary. There was going to be consequences. Yes. Yes, there's going to be consequences. There will be resistance, and it will take work. Make no mistakes. There will be resistance, and it will take work. Why? Because there will be consequences. There will be. There will be consequences. Consequences are unavoidable. When it comes to setting boundaries in your life, consequences of setting those boundaries are unavoidable. If you don't want any consequences, guess what? You're probably not going to set any boundaries. But if you understand that the good can come from consequences, then you'll understand that developing a healthy boundary, setting it, and staying with it is going to better me. I and others will be benefited by setting and developing healthy boundaries. But consequences are unavoidable. If you give in and remove the boundary, their controlling behavior towards you will continue. Think about that. Because this is what happens a lot of times. Somebody sets a boundary and then there's a counter move. Or there's consequences. Okay, you did this, you did, so I'm going to do this. And then the other person says, well, maybe I shouldn't have set the boundary there. Maybe I'll remove the boundary, and maybe it's just not the right time. Maybe it needs to be in a different area first. I'm not saying all those are not considerations, but what I'm saying, if we're in the habit of removing the boundary, if we understand that it is a healthy boundary and it's something that should be set and it's appropriate for the situation, and we set the boundary, and just because there is a counter move or just because there is conflict and resistance to our setting the boundary, if we then go and remove that boundary, there's consequences. The consequences are that I remain in that controlling behavior. In other words, that other individual who is controlling where that boundary is remains in control. And the more time that I do that, the more times that I set a boundary and then remove it, and set a boundary and then remove it, guess what? I start doubting whether I can ever make a boundary stick. Consequences. I start questioning whether I have the strength to really make the boundary stick. There's consequences. If you keep the boundary, their behavior will often include some sort of trespass in this or another area. If I keep the boundary, if I don't go back to it and say, okay, yeah, maybe that's, I'll just take that. If I keep the boundary in place, guess what? Trespass is probably going to happen. It may not be in that particular area. Often it is. But trespass is going to happen. I'm going to be trespassed against. Because I have set the boundary, but the other individual doesn't respect that boundary. Many times there's a counter move, there's a consequence, and that is in the form of a trespass. But think about it this way. Having internal control with external consequences is better than giving up control with internal consequences. I'll say that again. Having internal control with external consequences. Guess what? I cannot control how the individuals are going to respond to the boundary. I can't control that. That is outside of my control. I can't control, when I set the boundary, I can't control how you're going to respond to that boundary. I can't control what your feelings are going to be in regards to that boundary. I may have an inclination. I may have a clue. And many times I understand that when I set the boundary, there's going to be a resistance. But I can't control how you respond to that boundary. I can't control what counter move or what countermeasure you're going to implement. I can't control what the true consequences of that are going to be. But if I understand that having internal control with external consequences is better than giving up control. Because when I remove the boundary, what I'm simply saying is that I would rather you have control. Because there's conflict and because there's resistance. And because I'm avoiding. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to experience the conflict. So I'll remove the boundary. It was a good boundary and I needed to set it. And it was appropriate and it was healthy for me. But you didn't like it, and you resisted it, and you implemented counter moves, and there were consequences, and I decided that those weren't worth it. And so I went in, and I pulled the boundary, and I said, okay, what I did is then I gave you back control. And now there's internal consequences. And now I deal with the regret. And now I deal with the understanding that it's going to be cyclical. It's just going to go. It's just going to happen again and again and again and again. And now I'm angry at myself. And now I have more internal struggle. And now I should have kept the boundary in place. If I'd have just stuck to my guns. If I'd have just been steadfast, and I'd have stood strong. But I didn't. I didn't want to deal with the conflict and the consequences and resistance, so I went in and I pulled the boundary. But now I've given back control. Now I have the internal consequences of that decision, of that choice to go back in, because there was external resistance, which quite frankly I can't control in the first place. So it's much better for me. It's much better for me to understand it's a healthy boundary and set it and keep it in place. I can't control the external consequences. I don't know how they're going to react. I may have a pretty good understanding of the way they're going to respond, but I can't control how they're going to be about it. Well, they're going to be angry, probably. They're going to be upset, more than likely. They're going to do something against me, probably. But you need to understand the trade-off of you having internal control, the trade-off of me setting the boundary and saying no. And having that internal control, even though there are external consequences, it's much better than me giving in and giving up the control. Because then I don't control anything. Because then what happens many times is externally it does become worse. The reality is that it was going to become worse externally either way. But it's better if you set the boundary and keep the control. How about this? I set the boundary and the other person lost it. Think about it. I know it's in quotations, but think about it. I set the boundary and so-and-so went out of their mind. So-and-so went crazy. I said no, and they didn't deal well with that. I put the boundary in place, and man, did it ruffle the feathers. Boy, did it, phew, it pushed their buttons, Pastor. They went crazy. Well, what do you expect? Well, what do you mean what I expect? Well, territory they were freely treading is now taken back by you. Think about that. They had the control. They were freely walking over that place. That was their territory. They did what they wanted to. They lived how they pleased. And now all of a sudden you put a boundary in place? Oh, no, ma'am. No, sir. I'm about to lose my mind. No, what you're losing is control. And the reason why you're so upset is because it's territory that's not yours in the first place. And because I have decided to set the boundary and take it back, and I want to control it now, you lost it. Now there are restrictions in place. If you want to walk here, there are rules of engagement. Now, what's that? Certainly. It's part of life. Now here, let me just play, what they say, honest, whatever, honest Abe. This is something that I'm learning, and I hope my wife won't be embarrassed by this in our relationship, because she's giving me that look. And I'm not making excuses, but often in the midst of, how many of you believe that your pastor and his wife do argue and we have disagreements? Okay, if you didn't know that, we have them. And here's the thing. In my male dominance and in my preacher, you know, Neanderthal, whatever. Some part about getting in an argument or disagreement, I for a long time would, I don't know, it was just kind of, you know, subconsciously, but I believe that the higher the decibel level, the more authority that you had. And I'm a preacher, man. I can throw the voice. I can put it out there. And somehow I equated winning with my level of volume. And how that I could get up in the rafters, bro. And I could drown out her objection. Now, I'm being honest. But numerous times over our relationship and our marriage, my wife has had to look at me and say, if you're going to continue to yell at me, this discussion is over. Oh, wait a second. It works both ways. Before you get all clapping and happy over there. But there were times when she would have to set a boundary and say, if you want to talk to me like an adult, we can continue this conversation. But as long as you're going to yell, this conversation's over. We're not talking anymore. Now, did I like that? Oh, no, no, no. Matter of fact, that pushed my buttons. I can go up another level. But when I recognized that she would set that boundary and then keep it in place, she wouldn't acquiesce. She wouldn't. Now, this wasn't always the case, because sometimes we got in a, you know, you see who could get louder and better and who had better points. And, you know, it's nothing to resolve that way. But anyhow, when I recognize that I better tone it down or I'm not going to get anywhere or the discussion is going nowhere, I started to respect that boundary. Do I always respect it? Obviously not. She's back there smiling. But I've come to know over the years. And you see, here's the thing. I realized this as a young man in relation to my parents. But it didn't translate in my marriage relationship. And I'll give you a case in point. Now, my sister's not here to defend herself. But my sister, I would laugh at my sister when we were teenagers. Because my sister would get in trouble. And then she thought, for whatever reason, that at that point in time when she was getting in trouble, that she would go ahead and announce other things that she had done. And it would become like this screaming match. Well, yeah, well, I tell you what else I did. And I'll be like, what? Are you crazy? And so I, on the sidelines, cheering mom and dad on, get her mom, get her dad. Because that's what you do as a sibling. But I began to recognize, if I would sit down with my parents, I got it at some point. It was about 15 or 16 years of age. I recognized that if I would sit down with my parents and I wouldn't raise my voice and I would try to talk and I would try to get them to understand my point of view. It didn't always work. They didn't always see things my way. But guess what? Many times the punishment was much less. Because I had come to recognize, wait a second, they're my parents, and there's a level of respect and decorum that I should have in relation to my parents. And when I did things wrong, and I reacted wrong, and I crossed that boundary, guess what? Man, phew, then the hammer would come down. But when I respected them, and I sat down, and we talked it out, and I tried to express my point of view, and I tried to make them see the way I was looking at it, guess what? Things begin to work a lot better. And I'm only saying that to say this. When it comes to dealing with individuals, when you decide to set boundaries and say, no, you don't go there. No, you don't do this. And you put some barbed wire there. You put some consequence there. If you do this, if you continue to yell at me, the discussion is over. If you continue to raise your voice, we're done. You're setting a boundary. It's a healthy boundary. It says, we are not going to have a screaming match. We're not going to yell at each other. If we want to talk and have a discussion, we're going to do it with a level of decorum, and we're going to do it at a level that becomes adults. Do we like that? No. But if we're good, honest, loving people, we will start to respect that. And when other people set boundaries that are healthy, legitimate, appropriate boundaries in a relationship, that is respected. Say it with me. This doesn't mean the other person won't countermove and trespass. Just because I put the restrictions in place, I say, this is now my territory. Here is the boundary. You don't cross unless I give you permission. And that permission comes with restrictions. And if you want to walk here, then these are the rules of engagement. If you want in this territory and you want to be here, I'll open the gate. But it's only going to be if you recognize and you respect what's posted. And if you can do that, man, I'm dropping this thing all over the place. If you can do that, then guess what? Then we can have relationship. Then we can come to some agreement. But guess what? That doesn't mean the other person won't trespass. That doesn't mean the other person says, okay, that's all well and good. Doesn't. I can't control how they're going to respond to that. I can only set the rules and say there are restrictions. If you want to be here, these are the rules. These are the rules of engagement. If you want to talk to me, we're going to talk like adults. Here's the rules of engagement. But that doesn't mean they're going to respect that. What if they trespass? What if they have no respect for the boundary at all? What if they don't care that I set a boundary? What if they trespass? Because just because I have the restrictions in place, that doesn't mean they're going to abide by them. Just because there are now rules doesn't mean the other party was going to, okay. Yep, I like that area so much. Whatever rules you have, yep, nope. And often, we're trespassed. So what do we do? How do we respond in that? Understand this. Forgiveness and reconciliation. It's key. It's key to understand that these are not the same. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. One is me, and the other is we. Forgiveness is something that I do. And I forgive without regard to their response. I forgive if they trespass, I forgive them. I do. I forgive them for the trespass. That's a me thing. I forgive them. I forgive you for your trespass. But understand this, reconciliation is a we thing. We are biblically mandated to forgive, but forgiveness, catch this, forgiveness does not always result in reconciliation. Just because I forgive someone their trespass. He said, Lord, how many times do I forgive they trespass? 70 times 7. You just keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. But just because I forgive them doesn't mean there's going to be reconciliation. They're distinct and they're separate. Forgiveness is me. Reconciliation is we. And just because I forgive doesn't mean there's going to be reconciliation. Just because I forgive that individual for trespassing doesn't mean that individual is going to now respect the trespass or the boundary. It doesn't. They may do it again and again and again and again and again. What do? You forgive. Well, then how do we reconcile? You may not. Newsflash, you may not. Because guess what? In order for there to be reconciliation, there has to be forgiveness on their part. I can't control. That's an external thing. I can't control whether or not they forgive. I can't control whether or not they want to reconcile. I can't control whether or not they will ever respect my boundary. I cannot control that. And it may be that they do not. They never, ever respect my boundary. Forgive them. But understand, there may be no reconciliation. We forgive whether or not someone responds favorably and reconciliation results. I'm going to forgive you for trespassing whether or not you ever respect the boundary. I'm going to forgive you. But here's the thing. Here's what you got to understand. Forgiveness is not letting down the boundary in an attempt to reconcile. That's key. Forgiveness is not coming to the boundary and saying, okay, let's take the boundary out of the way so we can... No, that is not what it's about. You keep the boundary in place. You do not forsake the boundary thinking that you are forgiving. That is not the way it works. You, if it's a healthy boundary, you set it and you keep it in place. If they trespass, you forgive them. But don't go back and remove the boundary trying to establish the relationship. Because forgiveness and reconciliation are two distinct and separate things. Forgiveness is about me. Reconciliation is we. It takes two to tango. And if they don't want to reconcile and they don't want to respect the boundary before long, that's why Jesus said, here's the process. You go to him first. To him and thee alone. And if he will not hear you, you bring one or two more with you, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word would be established. And then, if he will not hear them, tell it to the church. And then, if he will not hear, here's what sometimes happens. Then he is to be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Because there comes a point in time, catch this, that I can forgive, and if there be no reconciliation, that individual doesn't ever respect the boundary, there can come a point in time where rejection is the result. Whew. That's Bible. I still forgive. I don't hold aught against them. I don't hold angst against them. But there comes a point in time, this happens a lot in friendships, so where that individual will trespass and trespass and trespass, and we've gone over it, and we've talked about it, and we've tried to deal with it, but they continue to trespass. And I forgive them, but I move on. I no longer try to reconcile that relationship, because guess what? It takes two. And if they're unwilling to respect my boundary, it doesn't matter how many times I talk to them. It doesn't matter how many people I bring it up to. It's not going to change. And that's why the Bible says, if you bring it to the church and you didn't hear it there, reject him. He is unto you as a heathen man and a publican. It ain't me, that's Bible. We maintain the boundary until the other party either respects the boundary and we reconciled, or continued trespass brings about rejection. That's what the Bible says. I certainly want reconciliation. There's the Bible calls it a ministry of reconciliation. I certainly want to reconcile. Now, let me just say this from a personal level. I think sometimes when it comes to ministry and when it comes to reconciling brethren who have fallen, who have trespassed, who have crossed boundaries, we are very quick to reject. When there is a ministry of reconciliation, and I believe that if someone would follow, according to 2 Corinthians 7, they would follow, that they would have godly sorrow, and they would implement those traits in their life, I do believe in reconciliation. I do. But does there come a point in time? Evidently, according to the Bible, does there come a point in time where if reconciliation cannot happen, I got to reject? Yep. Certainly. If reconciliation happens, then the Bible says you've gained a brother. If reconciliation happens, then a healthy boundary has been established, and this will facilitate a healthier relationship. If trespass occurs, I come to them and say, listen, I set this boundary. It's a healthy boundary. And I know I'm speaking in generalities, but I think we get the point. And through the process of time, that boundary is respected, and now there's reconciliation, and the relationship is restored. Guess what? It's healthier now than it's ever been. Why? Because there's boundaries, and healthy boundaries facilitate a healthy relationship. I know where you end and I begin, and vice versa. People who have great friendships and great relationships, they know where to tread and where not to tread. They know where the boundaries are. They know what subjects you talk about and what subjects you don't talk about. They know what you can poke fun of and what you can't poke fun of. True? Good relationships have healthy boundaries. Good relationships recognize, don't go there. I'm telling you. I know them too well. Don't go there. Good relationships have healthy boundaries. They understand. This is area. Yeah, you're free. Have fun. Poke fun at them all you want in that area, but don't go to this area. Trust me. I've been there. It wasn't pretty. We had to get together and talk it out. But we did, and now I know there's a boundary there. Now I know don't trespass there. Now I know all those posted warning signs, he means business about that. He doesn't want you there. She doesn't want you there. She doesn't want anybody there. Well, maybe they should just be a little bit more accepting. They're so avoidant. Well, maybe that's the case. Well, you let them work on that. Maybe there's some internal issues they got to work on. But don't think your trespassing continually is going to change it. What it's probably going to do is cause more conflict. And what it's probably going to do is eventually there's going to be some rejection. You keep trespassing. I mean, even in relationships, an individual keeps trespassing. And before long, though forgiveness is there, before long, there's going to be a level of rejection. There's going to be a level of holding you at arm length. There's going to be a level of staying away. Why? Because I'm just tired of being trespassed against. I'm tired of set boundaries, and you have no respect of the boundaries. You just do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. You don't respect boundaries. I still love you. I forgive you. But there's going to be some level of rejection. Man, it got quiet in here. If rejection occurs, the boundary remains healthy even though the relationship dies. Whew, that's key. Even if rejection is the result, if it's a good, healthy boundary, it remains in place. Well, that means the relationship may die. Yep. It probably wasn't a good relationship in the first place. If the other party can't respect the boundary, if the other party, guess what? It probably wasn't worth salvaging. Hate to be a realist. Move on. There's probably somebody else that you can have in your life that will respect your boundary, and you'll be able to build a better relationship with them. And I wish, maybe this is something along those lines need to be talked to young people. Because when it comes to friends and when it comes to dating and other, if people cannot respect your boundaries, if they cannot, if they're continually trying to trespass, let me tell you this. When it comes to a young man and a young woman who are, let's say they're in the dating phase of life, is it not better for that young girl to have internal control and say no? And if that young man continually tries to trespass, is it not better for her to let him go and reject him than for her to say, I'm tired of it. I just want him to be happy with me. And so what she does is she gives up control. And now there's internal consequences. Because I didn't keep the boundary in place. Now I'm dealing with all these feelings and emotions. And he got the territory he wanted, and now he's gone on to other things. Hello. Let's talk about resistance in relation. We've got 5 minutes. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's something we need to understand about resistance. There's something we need to understand about healthy relationships via healthy boundaries. Great friendships are often forged in the crucible of resistance. I'm going to say that again. Great friendships, furthermore, great relationships are often forged in the crucible of resistance. There's resistance and there's conflict, but guess what? As iron sharpens iron. It doesn't say as iron sharpens clay. It's two hard metals in resistance to one. As iron sharpens iron. You don't sharpen a knife with a carrot. That was a joke. Didn't go so well. But you sharpen a knife with a stone. It's two hard materials. It is resistance which creates the edge. It's the sharpness of the relationship is created by resistance.
Oh yeah, Pastor, I know that one very well.
No. Understand what I'm talking about. Resistance and respect of boundaries creates a great relationship. Catch this. How many of you, and you're coming to God and understanding the principles of His Word, how many of you were resistant to a lot of the things that you do now initially? Nobody? You all just acquiesced? You all just gave in and didn't resist at all? No, I dare say the majority of us. Thank you, Sister Christy, for being honest. Everybody else, you have boundary issues. When we first came to God, there weren't too many of us that were just really accepting of everything. There was some resistance. Well, I don't understand. And it may be based upon not understanding, but there was some resistance.
But over time, as we've come to understand and we've come to see those principles and we've come to value the Word of God and its principles and its precepts, we've come to know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it was resistance. But over time, as we kept reading, and though we didn't understand it, but we just kept coming back, it kept sharpening. Is not our relationship with God forged much the same way? When we start understanding the boundaries according to the Word of God, if you love me, keep my commandment, we get it. And a relationship is forged as a result. While sometimes initially reluctant, good, honest people will allow boundaries to better the relationship, wherein both parties will be benefited. Both parties will be benefited by the boundary, by the good, healthy boundary that is developed in the relationship. Both parties benefit. I know where to go and where not to go. You know where to go and where not to go. Conflict, consequence, and resistance are some of the materials for developing healthy boundaries and building great relationships. Closing, you can stand. Part of developing those healthy boundaries is understanding that internal resistance and the external resistance, those aren't bad things. Those help me. Those are indicators that a boundary needs to be in place. Those are indicators that I can be benefited by setting the boundary. Those are indicators that good can result from this. I can be benefited by setting this boundary. When I feel that internal resistance and I know there's going to be external resistance, that's probably a good place to start digging a post. Why? Because it's going to help build a better relationship. Well, Jesus, we love you. Oh, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, which teaches us and leads us. God will guide our lives, Lord, and I pray that we would see it, this passage, Lord, in our reading, God, in our teaching, in our study, God, we would see ways, God, to develop healthy boundaries in our lives. And though there be resistance, God, both internally and externally, God, we would recognize it is so needful. It's necessary in our lives, God. It will build better relationships with those around about us. It will help us to understand, God, where we should and should not go. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.